With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Well, hello and welcome to this new thing. Yes, this is the EvoStick Division 1 show. I'm your host, Ben Hughes, and we've decided that on a monthly basis throughout this season, we've decided that we'll be doing this regular, where we'll dedicate about half an hour to Division 1 North and South of the EvoStick Northern Premier League. Now, obviously, it's going to be tricky to try and figure out who should go first. What we've got coming up today, we've got Andrew Simpson from the Northwich Guardian. He's going to be joining us very shortly to discuss all things Division 1 North. We've got an interview with the manager from Bamber Bridge, Neil Crow. And as you can tell, that's two things from Division 1 North. So I've got to balance that out. So what I've got is three interviews from Division 1 South. That's right. We're going to be joined by journalists from Sheffield and from Stafford, because Stocksbridge and Stafford are both leading the Division 1 South at this moment in time. We'll also be hearing from one of the new boys, Chris Munro, the chairman at Basford United. And if you're wondering if I'm pronouncing that right, I've checked. It is actually Basford United. Anyway, without further ado, let's kick things off by discussing Division 1 North with the official season 2015-16 sage for Division 1 North. It's Andrew Simpson. So, for a perspective now on Division 1 North, there's only one place we can turn to. In fact, this is the reason why we've created this show. It's to give Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian a platform to speak. Hello, Andrew Simpson. How are you?
I'm well, and that's lovely. Hello from Division 1 Corner. Come on in. Come on in. The water's lovely.
It certainly is, and it's certainly lovely for a couple of clubs, including Northwich Victoria.
Yeah, they're flying, aren't they? Yeah. They are flying. They are flying. Doesn't matter if it's the league, doesn't matter if it's the cup, they will win. And setting the pace at the top of the table. I mean, Scarborough were denied a chance from making their 5-5 record because their game on Monday was postponed, and Northwich took full advantage by beating Landlords Witton Albion on Monday night to go clear at the top. And I was just looking at their next two games to see whether it's likely they're going to stay there. And they've got Ossett Albion on Saturday, and then Burst go at home in midweek. He'd probably back them to make it 7 straight wins. I'm sure their opponents have something to say about that, but it's looking good for them.
Is this the return to Northwich effect? Or Witten, I should say, rather. Is it the return to Cheshire effect?
No, I don't think so. I think they're reaping the benefit of, and something I touched on in the preview show, they're reaping the benefit of having a settled group, which Jim Gannon has worked closely with now for well over a year. They had a good season last year. And whilst they have made one or two additions, I think they are benefiting from the fact that he's had a chance to work with them over a long period of time. They've got a way of playing that works for them. Obviously works in terms of bringing in points. And they're making hay at the moment while a few others are probably kind of integrating new signings and kind of... finding their way to feet at this level. But I think it's more that they've got that settled group. They've been able to hit the ground running. I mean, I made a note this afternoon that they had a relatively kind fixture list. Having said that, they have beaten Bamber Bridge and Witton Albion, are two sides who will have designs on being in the kind of race for promotion. So whilst it has been quite kind, they have also beaten two teams that expect to be up there. So I suppose the question is, how long can they keep it going? And they say the fixture list continues to be relatively kind, so I expect them to kind of pick up more points in the next couple of weeks. And the problem that leaves everybody else, and we might come on to Bamber Bridge, is they're already 12 points behind Vicks.
Yeah.
I've no doubt that they will start to pick up points, and that, you know, they got their first win of the season in that FA Cup replay against Mosley in midweek, which is really important for them. They're already having to close a massive gap, and that could be a problem. I mean, you know, it seems a silly thing to say after 4 or 5 games, but if you're 12 points behind a direct rival, that's a fair old gap to close, isn't it?
Well, we'll be speaking to Neil Crow shortly, and I'll ask him that question. Can you do it? In that voice as well. But it's when we come to Division 1 South shortly in the show, we've got Stafford and Stocksbridge Park Steels up at the top. And in Division 1 North, we've got Northwich Victorian, Scarborough. There's something quite warming about this. No disrespect to the 48 other clubs involved, but there's something warming about this, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, Scarborough, I mean, very similar to Norwich in that, I think, again, I mentioned in the preview, they've had a couple of seasons at Division 1 level now under this management team. They're kind of starting to get a feel for what's necessary to be successful at this level. To be fair, I think Scarborough have made a few more signings than Norwich. They have more new players to bed in, but they seem to be doing that successfully. They've not conceded a goal yet. I mean, you know, they're similarly impressive to Vicks, and Scarborough kind of be rubbing their hands because they've got Prescott next. And so, you'd expect them to keep this run going a little bit longer. A big club for this level, certainly a big name for this level. And, I'm particularly grateful to Scarborough because I said that they would do well in the preview, and so they've not made me look stupid. And if you're a gambler, you might have kind of missed the boat here. I had a look at the odds this afternoon, and they were 12-1 before the start of the season. They've come right into 5 now, 5-1. So there's a bit less value if you fancied a little flutter on Scarborough.
There was a team who had wider odds, I'm going to suggest, but it's a team that we did mention in the preview show, and that was Gloucester North End. They came out of the North West Counties with good pedigree, with a good FA Vars run. With the best pies in the world, the wind on the backs, that being third is it's not really that much of a surprise. I don't think. I don't feel that surprised. Do you?
No, I don't. I think they've done great, and they're also they're unbeaten. They've only conceded one goal. It's going to be a really interesting game this weekend when they play Witton. There's an extra bit of spice there in that Gloucester have signed Jamie Rainford, who was at Witton last season. Did well for Witton, actually, and he's gone, and he's in a really rich vein of goals going
forward. They've got Mulholland there as well, haven't they, at Gloucester?
Yeah, I've got Mulholland there, yeah. He scored also this season. So an already strong squad, obviously, because they kind of cantered to the North West Counties League title, and Chris Wilcock has added some class to that as well, and I think they're the real deal. I think they'll stick around. You talked about odds. That was weird because Gloucester, their odds have gone out to 25-1.
Oh,
so that was one very odd movement because they've had a great start. You'd have thought people had gone, oh, actually Gloucester are going to do well, but they might be worth a bit of value, particularly if if they can get one over on Witton on Saturday to kind of stay up with the other two. Then it's starting to look quite good for them as well. I think they'll be up there. I really do.
We mentioned Northwich, Victoria and Scarborough Athletic being names, I think was the term, in this league. Another one is Kendal Town. Now, Kendal Town had a very tricky FA Cup tie last week against North Shields. North Shields, who I think Gloucester beat, didn't they? Or was that the year before? Well, North Shields have had a good pedigree in the Northern League. And Kendal have started very well, unlike in previous years.
Definitely, they've gone a little. Like I say, they're one of the ones that have gone a little bit under the radar. I suppose the only caveat with them is it's quite early. We need to see kind of how much staying power they've got. A good game for them, a good little test for them this weekend. They're playing Mosley. Now, Mosley have kind of been pretty steady top eight team at this level for the past couple of seasons. So, if they can continue their good start by beating Mosley on Saturday, then maybe we can start to think that Kendal can stick around, and I think that'd be good for the league if there was one or two that we don't expect to be up there and just right behind them in the table. Clitheroe as well, they've had a great start. Now, they had a great win in the FA Cup as well, scoring loads of goals. But they hit their first big test of the season on Saturday when they go to Spennymoor.
And there's all kinds of teams. We have the same discussion on the main show this month. It's hard to tell, and it's certainly more harder to tell in Division 1 because we're dealing with teams who've only played 4 games in some cases. So they're like one win away from making the playoff spot, so it's very difficult to assess. Of the teams who've come down, though, Witton Albion are in 10th currently. Trafford are 13th in the league.
Yeah.
In the league. How do you think they've settled in?
Well, they also played each other last weekend in the FA Cup, and Witton got through. They won 2-1 with deserving winners. I expected it to be a slightly closer game than it turned out to be, but Witton were comfortable victors in the end. They've both had a pretty mixed start. Very similar trajectories in the managerial changes since they've been relegated. Loads of new signings to bed in. Witton suffered, the blow of losing the derby with Norwich on Monday night. So it'd be interesting to see how they respond to that with a really difficult game at Glossop on Saturday. So a little test for them. But going into the Trafford game last weekend, there was a little question mark because they'd lost at Lancaster and drawn with Mosley. So to get the win against Trafford was quite important for them. I'm not surprised to kind of see them both hanging around in the middle of the league and both had a really mixed start. And after having seen them both play as well, I think they've both got enough quality to certainly be kind of top 10 and pushing towards the playoffs. Trafford have got this formidable forward line that we talked about with Ben Deegan and Chris McDonough, and they've signed Jack Dorney from Chorley. I think they'll be a threat of scoring goals against anybody. If anything, their problems are going to be at the other end from the glimpse we got of them on Saturday. Witten, I think the problem for Witten is they had a real reality check losing to Norwich. It wasn't just the fact they lost the derby, it's the fact that Norwich was significantly better than them, I would argue. And it certainly will have given the management team at Witten a lot of food for thought, because if Norwich, you know, they got to the playoff semi-finals last year. If Norwich are a barometer of where you need to be a contender, then Witten have some distance to travel based on the evidence of Monday. So slightly more reason to be concerned there. But I mean, I know it's the obvious thing to say, but it is early days. But Witten, you know, if they do lose at Glossop on Saturday, similar point that I made about Bamber Bridge, suddenly they start to feel a long way from the yes. top of the table. You don't want to get, even at this stage, you don't want to get too far behind, so they could do with avoiding defeat. You know, point at Gloucester would be a great result for Witten to then start looking forward again.
If we can just look towards the other end of the table, the general consensus at the Magnet on Wednesday evening was the three sides who are down there now are the ones who are going to be battling it out for relegation.
I think that's a fair comment. I think it's shaping up to be that way, isn't it?
If you look at Prescott Cables and New Mills' gold against Talla, it's pretty eye-watering after four or five games.
It is, and you wonder whether it's going to get worse before it gets better. I mean, I know Prescott have made a managerial change already, and so we'll have to wait and, you know, give him a chance to bed in. But they're at home to Scarborough on Saturday, so it's the, you know, disastrous way to kind of kick off your league reign as new manager. New Mills are going to Warrington Town on Saturday, and you kind of think things are going to get worse before they get better for them. So I wouldn't argue that. I think those three are looking particularly vulnerable at this stage, definitely.
It gets worse because, like Radcliffe Borough, that match against AFC Liverpool in the FA Cup on Friday night, going out after on the 90th minute, it's early.
And they were 2-0 up.
I know, and 2-0 up at half time. It's difficult to condemn a team at this moment in time, but it's not looking good for any of those teams at this moment. Anything else that you've spotted or like to mention?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the favourites with the bookies continue to be Warrington, but they've had a little bit of an inconsistent start. I mean, they got a great point at Bamber Bridge after being 2-0 down on the opening day, and then you thought they'd kind of kick on from there, but they drew with Farsley and got hammered by Burscough, and then also went out of the FA Cup last weekend.
They've helped themselves, haven't they, by letting Abbey Hay beat them?
A huge credit to Abbey Hay rather than kind of hammering Warrington too much, I think, because Abbey Hay have had a great start to the season. But obviously, after getting to the first round last year, it's a disaster for them to go out.
Or is it? Because that was the problem with last year for Warrington. They were so far behind the fixtures that they were 14th when they got knocked out, I think, from memory.
Yeah, I think that's if you want to, I think, it depends on how you want to look at it. I mean, to be fair, everyone was then... I was looking then thinking, well, Trafford, they looked all right against Witten. I thought they might kind of pile the misery on for Warrington. But I think that's a great result for Warrington to go to Trafford and bounce back straight away. And they go into a home game against New Mills this weekend. So maybe they will then start to kind of move back. And it's hardly a disaster. They've only lost one league game, but they're not kind of in touch with Vixen and Scarborough just yet. So, they'll probably just want to make sure they pick up a couple of wins now to kind of close that gap again. I suppose the other talking point I would make, and you're going to speak to him, so I suppose it's from the horse's mouth would be more interesting, is probably none of us expected that Bamber Bridge wouldn't have won a league game yet. So there is a lot of mitigation for that, in that they've had injuries to key players, to be fair, and that's not helped them. They had quite a difficult start because they played Warrington Town and they travelled to Vicks with that weakened team. So I'd be interested, I'd be listening with interest to what Neil Crowe says when you have a chat with him.
Well, you're a journalist. I mean, how would you ask that question? So you've not won a game.
I would ask him if he was worried, and I guess he'll say no, because I've not had my first strength team out yet. But that is a mighty gap to Norwich already, and I would kind of, you know, the best laid plans, they've strengthened the team, and yet they've had a a poor start. And I suppose he'll be saying the FA Cup game hopefully will be the catalyst for them. They've beaten Mosley and they need to go on a little run now, I think. And whether he feels that... I mean, there was an interesting interview with his assistant in the local paper where he was saying that, look, we're not going to shy away from the fact that everyone's talking about us being favourites. We're all right with that. We're happy to carry that tag. Whether he feels that that's had an influence on their start, is that weighing on them in any way? And I'm sure he'll say no publicly, but it is interesting that they've had that, of all the people we were saying were going to be at the top, they've had the slowest start. So, you know, interesting to know what he kind of puts that down to. He probably will say the injuries, but they need to pick some wins up in the next month.
On that note, it is now time to say goodbye to Andrew Simpson for this month. Would you like to give a plug, Simo, for all the good work you do?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at @Simo_on_sport, and I will invariably be at a Northern Premier League game nearly every Saturday, be it Northwich or Witten, occasional trip to a Northwest Counties game with 80-74 Northwich. But yeah, I will be kind of following very closely what's going on in Division 1 North, and we'll try and tweet lots of links to local newspaper reports of Vicks and Witten's rivals as well, so there'll be a general Division 1 North stuff, not just totally focusing on them too.
Well, Andrew Simpson, senior sports writer for the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, thanks for joining us this week. So that's Division 1 North, and now we're going to boomerang and go to Division 1 South momentarily. Coming up later in the show, we'll be hearing from Bamber Bridge manager Neil Crowe. But now we're going to boomerang to Division 1 South, as I said. And anyone looking at the EvoStick Division 1 South table will have their hearts melted by the fact that Stocksbridge Park Steels, after four games, are top of Division 1 South. For perspective now on things that have been going on in Division 1 South, and in particular in the South Yorkshire area, we're now joined by non-league reporter for the Sheffield Star and Grassroots. It's Paul Webster. Hello, Paul. How are you?
Hi, Ben. I'm good, mate. Thank you.
So, round the table at the Magna in Stockport on Wednesday night, we all shared the same view that it was heartwarming to see Stocksbridge Park Steels at the top of the league. They've won Team of the Month, and then they get beat. So, right.
I was talking to the manager only the day before, and he actually said to me they'd been awarded the Club of the Month, and said, you know, hopefully it's not the kiss of death.
It's amazing how many teams don't like Alan Alcock when he gives that award out. It's weird, isn't it?
It is, yeah, and it's amazing how many times it seems when they get it, they do lose the next match. You ought to go put your money on it, you know. It's just the way it works, isn't it, yeah.
So Stocksbridge Park Steels, they've had a season in the wilderness, and what do you think the difference is this year? They've come straight out of the blocks, really, haven't they?
Well, I think the difference this year from last season is that he's managed to get competition for places in every position. He didn't have that last year. So when you get the injuries and the suspensions that you pick up, he was having to chuck some of the kids in. And obviously that showed in the results. This year he's brought in players, you know, decent experience, some young lads from ex-pro clubs, and he's got competition for every place. And I think it's shown that when he's had players missing, which he already has this season, it's not affected the results.
What was the expectation at the start of the season? I mean, it's all right saying four games in. Oh, we knew this was going to happen. What was the expectation at the start of the year?
Realistically, when I spoke to the manager, Chris Hilton, before the season, he said, you know, if they're top 10, he'd be delighted. You know, and I think that is an honest assessment. I don't think they are playoff material, if I'm honest, this season. He's still building. You know, it's his second year in charge. He was very successful at Wurzburgh Bridge, but it took him about 3 years to build a good side, and a side that actually went unbeaten at home in one season. But he's certainly made advances, but I would say top 10, 10-ish, he'll be happy with that.
When it comes to Division 1 South, in the season preview, we mentioned the fact that unlike Division 1 North, which is pretty steady with the teams that are in there, there's a lot of new entrants into this year's competition in Division 1 South. The likes of, a team nearby to you, Shawlane Aquaforce, and Daventry and Rugby and Basford United. It's difficult, isn't it, to assess where Stocksbridge can fit in?
Yeah, it is. And I think the other thing is that, you know, we're only four league games into the season. I think realistically, you've got to look at 12 games in, 10, 12, before you can assess how you're going to do and how the other teams are going to do as well. And some are unknown quantity to Stockbridge, of course, like the likes of Daventry, who have never played before in the league. Shorelane Aquaforce are a slightly different proposition, as they're not far away from Stockbridge. So they know a lot of the players, but from actually playing them in competitive, they've never met before in league football.
Now, when it comes to Shorelane Aquaforce, we mentioned them in the season preview just because of the name. We thought they were going to bring some refreshing change to the league kind of thing. That was a joke on the name, but never mind. what's the expectation at Shorelane Aquaforce?
I think the expectations level there are quite high. On Craig Elliott, so we're told he's got a very big budget. Looking at the players he's signed, I would say that's absolutely spot on. Which puts a little bit of pressure on his shoulder. I don't think last week's cup defeat away at Alsager Town, a team that playing a level below them, will have helped the cause. I don't think the chairman will be too happy with that. But it's early days yet, but I think the expectation level there that they will be looking to be in the playoffs.
And another team close to your heart, Sheffield FC. What do you reckon for them? Because they're the oldest club in the world, and there's a prestige about Sheffield FC.
There is, and the club are marketed very well, of course, with the chairman, Richard Timms. But on the football side, they've had a lot of managers over previous years, and I think they need to, you know, a period of sticking with one manager. They've brought Andy Kiwomya in, who's obviously known from league football with the likes of Sheffield Wednesday and Barnsley. He's brought a lot of players in. He's used his contacts wisely, but it's very much a transition period for them. I know Andy's happy with how they've started, the commitment of the players and the fitness and everything. So I think they'll do okay. Once again, they'll not be pushing the top six. It's a big season for the club and for Andy, you know, and he'll need time to feel his way in non-league football.
When it comes to Sheffield FC as well, there's this ambition as well to return to the spiritual home of the club. Do you know much about that?
I know a little bit about it. They obviously came from Olive Grove. They're wanting to go back there. They're now appealing for funding to clubs all around the world, and it's actually got a lot of support. It'll not happen, I don't think, certainly in the next 2 years. But it'll be nice to see them back in Sheffield, because effectively they don't play in Sheffield. You know, they play in Derbyshire, they play in Dronfield. And I think if they're back in Sheffield, particularly Olive Grove, which is city centre, I think you'll see that the attendances will rise.
And you're quite right in what you're saying. Four games in, you can't really tell a lot. It's a bit stupid to do a podcast this early in the season. I know that, Paul. But what's your overall feeling towards Division One South this season after four matches?
I don't think there's anybody settled down at the moment. I think Basford United will be there or thereabouts following their promotion. It's rumoured that they've thrown a bit of money at it this season. Newcastle Town, I don't think, will be far away. You know, it is difficult, as you said. Four games and it hasn't settled down now. You're getting sort of teams beating teams that you wouldn't expect. I think the one thing with Division One is that anybody can beat anybody. I don't think there's a team that you can put your finger on that you will say at the moment will run away with that league. I think it's very, very open this season.
Well, Paul Webster, where are you going to be this weekend, and how can people keep abreast of where you're going to be?
I'm this weekend. I haven't actually selected my game this weekend.
Oh, right.
Stocksbridge are away, but I'm probably going to go down to Drumfield and see Sheffield FC against Newcastle Town.
Ooh, I think that's going to be a good game.
That will be a tidy game, that one. Yeah, I'm going to pop down there. I saw them in the first match of the season when they lost 2-1. They were absolutely superb the first half. Should have gone in 3 or 4 nil up. Didn't. Went in 1-0 up and finished up losing it 2-1. It was the typical game of two halves. I'm expecting a good game tomorrow. They haven't won at home yet in the league, so you know, it'll not be easy against Newcastle.
No, certainly not.
I just think they might sneak this one.
Well, Paul, that was an excellent debut. Thanks for joining us. Paul Webster there, non-league reporter from the Sheffield Star and the grassroots section of the Sheffield Star as well. That's Stocksbridge Park Steels and a bit of Sheffield FC and, of course, a bit of Sean Lane Aquaforce covered there. But Stocksbridge Park Steels are only in front by 2 points. There's another sleeping giant in second place in Division 1 South, and that is, of course, Stafford Rangers. Right, for a view now on Division 1 South, and in particular Stafford Rangers, we're now joined by the sports editor for the Staffordshire Newsletter. It's David Broom. Hello, David. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you.
So, Stafford Rangers, I think we can all agree, a bit of a sleeping giant, and they've made a cracking start in the Division 1 South, haven't they?
They have, yeah. After last season, when they only missed out on the playoffs by goal difference, the aim all summer from the management team and the players and everyone has been promotion. And, yeah, they've made a good start so far. They've not lost a game in the league yet. They've got 3 wins from 4, probably should have been 4 wins from 4 as well. So.
Of the score lines as well, that they are scoring goals as well, aren't they, in the last couple of games as well? 7 goals in 2 matches.
Yeah, I think they highlighted that as a problem from last season. They had the best defence in the league last season, but that came at the expense of not scoring very many goals. This season, they've only kept 1 clean sheet so far, but they have scored, well, like you say, 7 goals in the last 2 games, 11 goals in total. Which, I mean, it's not a huge amount, but it's a big improvement on last season. And they finally seem to have the sort of goal-scoring strikers that they were missing last season.
When you talk about this season in Division 1 South, it's quite nice to see, heartwarming to see, both Stocksbridge Park Steels and Stafford Rangers up at the top. How's the league been after 4 or 5 games?
I mean, I think it's always a bit difficult to tell after a few games, but you know, like you said, the teams you've mentioned there are doing quite well. Basford, I think everyone expected, will be doing quite well this season. They're up in third, and then Daventry and Spalding have got the final two playoff positions. Stafford Rangers actually go to Spalding this weekend, so that could be a bit of a test of, you know, how far they've actually come so far. Although they played Daventry in the first game and beat them, so they, you know, they can do it against the teams that are up there with them.
Of the teams that you've seen so far, Daventry Town, Romulus, Lincoln United, Kidsgrove Athletic. I mean, Kidsgrove Athletic, didn't they take a few players off leak over the summer? You were expecting a bit better, Kidsgrove Athletic.
Yeah, certainly from last season. Last season, Stafford went to Kidsgrove and won 6-0. And I don't think anyone's expecting anything similar this season, given that it's basically a different team now. But then they went there in their last league game and won 4-0. So, I mean, it wasn't the same performance as last season. Last year, Kidsgrove had just lost their manager 2 days before the game. I think this season, Stafford deserved to win, but it, you know, possibly 4-0 was a bit flattering. Daventry, of the teams I've seen so far, probably been the most impressive. Ranger did well to get a win there. And Romulus and Lincoln, they looked okay as well. So I think it's going to be quite a tough league.
What's your overall feeling about what's going to happen this season? Because there's teams like, we never really mentioned Stocksbridge Park Steels in the season preview. We did mention Stafford Rangers as having a chance, and obviously Spalding United, Belper perhaps, Newcastle Town was also on the list, Sean Lane Aquaforce. What's your general feeling about who the runners and riders are this season?
Well, I think, I mean, Rangers have got to be in there. At the start of the season, Rangers were joint favourites for the league with Leek Town. Leek haven't had a great start to the season, and they're down in 13th at the moment. And you look at last season's playoff teams who didn't get promoted, teams like Gresley, I don't know, they've won a match yet, or they only won one match. So they're right down at the other end of the table. Newcastle and Shore Lane, they've had decent starts. I think they'll be there or thereabouts, but yeah, there's a few surprises in there at the moment, so you never really know. At this sort of level, managers and players leave all the time, and a team can change overnight, so it's always a bit difficult to write teams off too early.
And the management and players are up for the season ahead, and the challenge of getting back into the Premier Division?
Yeah, definitely. Last season, the sort of stated aim was consolidation. They'd had 6 very poor seasons, you know, tumbling down from the conference through, and then going through the leagues to find themselves in the Evo Stick Division One, and there was changes off the pitch with a new board and a new chairman coming in, and they've stabilised the club and it's running a lot better on a financial footing now. And so they wanted to do last season was make sure everything was right off the pitch. The fact that they finished just outside the playoffs and also won the Staffordshire Senior Cup were both bonuses, really. But once they've done that, they now know they need to kick on this season and be targeting the playoffs at the very least.
Well, David, thanks for joining us on the show. Would you like to give a plug for yourself and the Staffordshire newsletter?
Yeah, the Staffordshire newsletter is a weekly publication. It's the only place you can read all about the Rangers. We come out every Wednesday, so you should buy yourself a copy.
Right. David Broome, sports editor for the Staffordshire newsletter. Thanks for joining us on this month's show. We'll return to Division 1 South momentarily, as we'll be speaking to Basford United's chairman, Chris Munro. But it's now time to head back to Division 1 North, and one of the favourites, if not the title, but certainly the playoffs this season. I'm talking about Bamber Bridge, who in the past two seasons have been runners-up in the playoff final in Division 1 North. And so for more on this, I spoke to the manager of Bamber Bridge, Neil Crowe, at the training ground. Although I was at home, he was at the training ground. I don't actually get out of the house. For more now on Bamber Bridge, we're joined live from training by the manager, Neil Crowe. Hello, Neil. How are you?
Hi, Ben. You all right?
I'm not so bad, mate. So, last season was so close. Finished third in the league, and then there was the playoffs. How was that last season? Was it exciting?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it was twice on the run we've been beating the playoff final now. Rami beat us the season before in Darlington last year. But, to finish top of the pile behind Darlington and Salford, you know, Darlington, a massive club, and Salford are a very big non-league club now. So, it was pleasing. But we were there on merit. I would say the start we've had this season has not been the start we wanted, but it's been a tough start, to be honest.
That's what I was going to ask you next. I think you're one of the favourites to do well in the league this year, but it's not been the best of starts.
No, it hasn't.
But you've had a few injuries, though, haven't you?
I've not been able to pick the strongest team yet. That's hindered us, and we have been playing well, so I'm not too worried. You know, Northwich and Warrington are two of the teams who should be up in the top five come the end of the season. So to have them in your first three games, I'm not too worried at the moment. We've been playing well and players are coming back. We had Paul McKenna came back for us on Saturday. He's been a big miss. So Brett Hornrod's out, Dave Hankins out. If we had everyone to choose from, then I'd be slightly worried at us drawing games. You know, we see it as we've lost one in six. So
when it comes to this season in the league, you quite rightly pointed out last season there was Salford, there was Darlington, there was Warrington, there was Northwich, there was Drolsden, there was all these kind of clubs who had a budget, say. Then there's Bamber Bridge, who finished third. How much of a feat do you think that was last season?
What, for us?
Yes.
It was massive. I mean, you know, the hardest thing for us last season was to replicate what we'd done the season before. Because, you know, getting to the playoff final once was tough enough, but doing it twice in consecutive seasons, it was never going to be easy.
And what do you reckon for this season? I mean, you've still got the likes of Northwich. Scarborough seems to have got the back together.
Yeah, they do, yeah. They've had a good start.
There's Witten in there, there's Trafford, there's Spennymoor, there's Kendall, there's still Warrington. Can you do it again?
We'll be giving it a good go, but I see it as it's as hard as ever. Like you say, you've got Glossop have come up.
Yes.
Witten have come down, Trafford have come down. Three very good sides, you know. So it's, by all means, the league isn't any easier. And I think the teams who were in the bottom half of the table last year have probably strengthened as well. So it seems to be getting, last year for me was probably the hardest the league's been in. I've been involved 10 years at this level now, and it was probably the hardest it's been last year.
When it comes to fans' expectations and members' expectations, what's it like managing a club like Bamber Bridge?
now yes. there is expectation because of what we've done in the last 2 years, you know. Whereas in the past, we were probably, you know, we've done well if we finished in the top 10. Yeah, there's definitely expectation. People are expecting Bamber Bridge to do something this season, which does put a bit of added pressure on. But end of the day, I want us to be a team that's expected to do something. I don't just want us to be a mid-table side and season in, season out.
Well, Neil Crowe, manager at Bamber Bridge, thanks for joining us in the middle of your training session.
No problem.
Wish all the best to all the players and the staff and the rest of the club. And thanks for joining us on this week's show.
Thanks very much.
And last but not least, on this first ever Evo Stick Division 1 show, it's now time to have an insight from one of the new boys in the NPL this season. If you look at Division 1 South, you'll notice some teams that, oh, they're new. And one of those teams is Basford United. For more on the brilliant start Basford United have made this season, we're joined by the chairman, no less. It's Chris Munro. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Hello, Ben. I'm fine, thank you.
Right, have I pronounced the name of the team right, Basford?
It's a point of contention. We call it in Nottingham Basford, but everyone else calls it Basford.
Oh.
So we know to both.
It's an Ilkester Nielsen moment, right? Well, it's Basford then from now on. Right.
Thank
so,
you.
Chairman from Basford United, it's Chris Munro. Cracking start to the season. What have you made of it?
I think, Ben, to be honest, if anyone would have said we'd have taken 9 points out of 15 before the season start, we would have absolutely jumped at it because. You know, we're under no illusion to the task that we've come into and the strength of the league. So we're delighted with the start. But it's just shown that every game is a tough game. You know, there's no easy games and, you know, you've got to be on your mettle from the first minute to the last. So we're delighted with the start.
So you came up this season as champions of the Midlands League. What was the ambition this season?
The ambition is still as is at the moment. You know, we'd like to finish if possible, you know, somewhere around the middle of the table, just consolidating this first year because we know the level of the step that we've come into. So that's the target, really. You know, it's a funny one for us because it's really a no-pressure season for the management, you know, which, you know, they've had a lot of pressure last four seasons with four promotions on the bounce. So this season is a consolidation one. But obviously, if we're challenging or if we're high, we'll take it all day long. But that's the realistic target this season.
There's a few new teams. Division 1 South is slightly different from Division 1 North because Division 1 North is pretty steady with the teams that are in there. There's been an injection of new blood in this league with yourselves, Daventry, Shoreline Aquaforce, Rugby as well. What have you made of the league in these early games?
I think I touched on, I think that the games have, you know, are very competitive to the first to the last minute. You know, we found in the early first three games that, you know, we thought we could have got something out the second and the third one. But, you know, these teams kept going for 90 minutes and they took the points. So, you know, it has been a learning curve because I think in the league's previous, Midland League, you know, a lot of good teams in there, but you could sort of win the game in the first 75 minutes and then just sort of coast through. But certainly not the case at this level.
And for this weekend's match, It's an interesting one because you've got one of the old teams of the NPL, the Chasetown. What do you think for this weekend?
Well, I think Chasetown, you know, obviously they're very well respected and well known around our area. You know, obviously Midland club like ourselves, and we know them well. We know their ambition for this season. We do think it's going to be a very difficult test for us. But let's see how we perform. And I think it's a good, again, it's another good benchmark of how potentially the season could unveil for us. So we're looking forward to it, but we're under no illusions.
And just a wider question about Basford United as a football club. Where do you see yourselves in the next few years? How do you see yourselves developing?
As a club, you know, we've made no secret of the fact that, you know, we are a progressive club. You know, we do have good backers. The biggest issue we've got is our ground infrastructure that's massively improved during the summer. There's a lot of work that's gone on. I think our ambition really, you know, to be honest with you, you know, if we could say we could get in the NPL Premier within the next 3 or 4 years, we would jump at that. That'd be a great achievement. But, you know, again, we're under no illusion the size of the task and what needs to be done. But that is an objective for us.
Well, Belper and Barwell have shown it's possible from that neck of the woods. So I don't see why not. And all the best to you from all the listeners.
Thank you.
Chris Munro, chairman of Basford United. If anything, we've learnt how to pronounce the name of the team this week, and that's good for everyone involved. Chris Munro, I wish you and the club all the best, and you're more than welcome to come back on the show whenever you want.
Thank you, Ben, and thank you for having us.
And that, dear listener, is this month's Evo Stick Division 1 show. Let us know what you think. If you really object to this show, then we'll stop it dead. We'll bring it back and we'll amalgamate it back with the Evo Stick MPL show. I'll take the hit. If this was a mistake, I'll hold my hands up. If you do like it, though, let us know. And we'll be back next month with another edition of the Evo Stick Division 1 show. So I've been Ben Hughes, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Evo Stick Division 1 North or South side, make sure that you have fun. Goodbye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the Evo Stick range, you may need a bigger van. Evo Stick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.